Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi, and this is our Week in Review. Over the weekend, taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations and stories that we've covered for you of the last week. Brand new episodes back Monday morning, bright and early, 5 a.m. here on the podcast.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are continuing our conversation with Gary Upton, the undersheriff of Osage County, Oklahoma, as we continue to discuss the investigation into Cynthia Dawn Kinney. This is the woman who disappeared in 1976, the teenager, I should say, who disappeared in 1976 that is now being connected possibly to Dennis Rader, BTK, who still denies any involvement in the case. Although he has the writings that talk about bad wash day or bad laundry day while he was a installer for ADT Systems directly across the street at the time that this teenager went missing, her body still not found to this day. Gary, I want to ask you about the leggings that were found that were dug up on the property of Dennis Rader, the former property of Dennis Rader in Park City, Kansas, near Wichita. Those leggings, I would assume, have been sent in for DNA testing to try and determine who they may belong to, because we don't know at this point if they are of a case that has been not solved or if they are possibly of one of the 10 that Dennis Rader has already been convicted of. What's the status on that? Has there been the DNA testing yet?
Not yet. Our hope is to do that DNA testing at the same time that we would gain access to the other materials that are in possession of Wichita PD. Mm-hmm. And that way we can identify the items that we see in their possession that look to be of high value to our case. Mm-hmm. And just DNA test everything all at once, because with the help of the National Task Force, we think we have the resources necessary to make things happen quickly and effectively.
And I want to talk about the National Task Force in just a second, because I know that is new. I do want to ask one more thing about the leggings, and I want to express something that I have heard, because we've been talking about this, you know, since this is really kind of broken up and become more of a bigger story the last handful of weeks. Is right. Eddie, when he was on with Ashley Banfield, and maybe I'm not the first to say this, but it's evidence. Why was he holding it up on camera? I know he had gloves on and all that, but I've talked to like 10 FBI agents who everybody cringed. Like, what is he doing? What is this evidence? No,
for us, there was particular value in that. We wanted to gain some traction in the media and okay. get the help we needed. And we feel that there was some success there.
Yeah.
But there was a two-pronged approach to that also, in that, you know, Dennis Rader hears and sees everything from the outside. And, yeah. and I'll be specific about that here in a minute.
Okay.
But we knew that he would see that.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that he's under our scrutiny, and he's gone silent. In the beginning, when he first met Eddie, mm-hmm. He was kind of braggadocious to the media,
yeah.
and gave him a nickname, a Project Cowboy, and And I think they call me Project Deputy Dog. And it's like everyone he comes in contact with has a project name, which is kind of scary because I guess if he had the wherewithal, mm-hmm. he would, I guess, try to off me.
I don't think everything BTK did the name Project was always murder, though. It seemed to be like he categorized like even his daughter, like stuff that she would do as a project. It's like everything is a project, but it seemed everything to be on the same level of murdering someone or, you know, getting groceries.
So, okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. Well, it's how we know he sees everything in the media is we've been listening to all his phone calls and intercepting all his correspondence. But when our DA, who we're in conflict now, us and the other county, when he gave his press conference and went on like he did, Dennis Rader was watching, mm-hmm. and our sheriff was actually there in the waiting room waiting for Dennis Rader to walk in. Dennis Rader had literally just finished watching that press conference, and he sat down with our sheriff and he said, well, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, well, I just listened to your DA, Mike Fisher, and I guess you, you've got insufficient evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it works both ways, I guess, when you try to use the media.
Yeah.
You know, it, sometimes in our favor and sometimes not. And so we feel like we've dodged some slings and arrows, based on what the DA did and that we'll form an appropriate response to it and move on. And obviously with the help of the task force, I think we will make a lot of progress.
What is the DA needing to press charges? And number one, did you guys think you'd have enough with the DA to press charges by now? Or is it more so we still got to get the DNA? We still got to get some of these other things testing before we can even get to that step.
We weren't ready for him to press charges or mm-hmm. show him any kind of arrest affidavit. He had prematurely inserted himself into the process. We believe for political reasons, he's backing the opponent in an upcoming sheriff's race next year.
Okay.
Openly. And he's got a ringing endorsement online for the opponent. And, that's all I can suspect.
Politics.
So, no, I mean, it's just, that's just the nature of things.
How else did Dennis react? Obviously, you just said that he said, well, it looks like you don't have enough. I know you're paraphrasing for an arrest here or anything.
Well, it bolstered his confidence.
Yes. Yeah. So what else did he express after that? I mean, I know from what we've heard, he still denies any involvement in these cases, but the writings that we see, all of those little tidbits, the clues that we know he likes to give out, is this just part of another game with Dennis where he's not saying anything right now or waiting to see how much more you guys come up with that then maybe it'll spark his interest to start giving more clues? Or is he really sitting there going, look, I didn't do this. You're wasting your time.
Yeah, it's with him. I think it's all a game. That was the game he was playing in the year leading up to his arrest. And I don't fault the Wichita PD for the job they did and the relief they had upon his arrest. And you have to remember that Dennis Rader's greatest and last taunt before his arrest was that he was going to kill again and that he was looking for a latchkey kid or some sort. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And so for the year leading up to his arrest, I imagine every hand on deck was working double hours, not seeing their family, skipping birthdays and holidays. And when they finally were able to arrest him and put a bow on it, I bet you everyone was ready to go back to their families and get back to a normal semblance of life. So sadly, I think there was a lot of material in those journals that still needed to be unpacked. And I think that's what we had was the luxury of time.
Do you guys now have access to all of the, or will you have access to all of his writings and journals that have been sitting there? Cause one would have to imagine that there's going to be a lot there.
Yes. And we do have access to a good majority of his journals and his writings and his notes, some of it handwritten, some of it typed. But we expect to get access to more here in the near future.
You said that the lead that led to them going in and taking a look at the Park City residence came from what might have been a love interest letter to one of his fans. Obviously, he has to know that his mail is being monitored and always has been since he's been arrested. Is this something that, is there any concern that this is going to, or has it slowed down his clues to the people that he wants to communicate to, leaving those little breadcrumbs and being a little braggadocious to someone that he's interested in?
That's a really good question, because that particular piece of correspondence, we didn't start from where we're at now and just start listening and intercepting stuff. We went back in time. Mm-hmm. And this particular piece of correspondence that we latched onto had already made its way, you know, through the mail to this person, but mm-hmm. we saw a copy of it. I think it went all the way back to like a few years after his arrest. So I think he probably learned with time that he had to be careful about what he wrote.
Okay.
And in the case of a love interest, I think he let his guard down and said too much or a little bit too much.
Because I know he's been very particular and very cautious with his writing, very specifically careful. With Catherine yeah. Ramsland and all that, and yeah. making it a game almost of trying to decipher what he's been talking about. So that puts it more into perspective as to when that writing actually took place. It took place a long time ago. It does make you wonder. I mean, there just seems to be a lot of stuff here that's been sitting around for so long, and now we're finally getting a chance to dig into this. With there being no body, when we're talking specifically about Cynthia Dawn Kinney, in that case, obviously all of the cases that Rader has been charged with, there were bodies involved and they were bound and tortured and killed. Yeah. This case, we know he was across the street, ADT, his interests, his writings, but there was no murder scene that was ever discovered. Does that make this even more difficult to try and put Dennis there?
Of course it does. Yeah. Yeah, it does. And so that's why we try to look at every little piece of everything. Mm-hmm. And we were hoping to appeal to his conscience and see if he would perhaps just come clean and tell us mm-hmm. where she wound up. And that would have been a great help. But he's making us do it the hard way, and that's okay. We'll continue to move forward and just try to connect the dots. It's for us, we just think it's a matter of time. But time is not on our side because he's 78 and his health is so frail that I can't imagine that he's got two more years left on this earth.
Yeah, you have that. And then you also, of course, have the victims' families and trying to bring justice while they are still around as well for their yeah. loved ones. Let's talk about the barn a little bit. I know you guys have been asking for anybody to come forward with information about maybe a barn they had on their property in 76, what it may have looked like. Have you guys found anything new on that or any promising leads that could really, you know, put Dennis into a specific barn? And if so, how do you determine if that's the ones that he was drawing pictures of?
It's hard, but we do know that he has a particular barn style that he's very fond of because he draws the same barn and silo in the same way. So mm-hmm. it's either the same one barn that he loves a whole lot. And there's one barn in particular that Carrie has been helpful with that he would always point out on his drives with her to take her back to college, that, mm-hmm. that drive back and forth. And so there's that one. But then there's others that no longer exist.
Yeah.
Of course, he was a Boy Scout leader with the Quivira Boy Scout Council that was just, you know, a couple hours away from Wichita on Highway 99. Mm-hmm. We found a barn there that was right up his alley, and it had been torn down, like 15 years ago. But we saw pictures of it. Mm-hmm. And we go back with aerial photography and GPS and satellite imagery that will take you back in time to see what existed in a particular location at any given point. And we saw where it was, and we went and talked to the property owner and said, man, this is only 2 miles away from this Boy Scout camp. And it was one of the ones that him and his son frequented a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to just check it off our list, and he let us dig there, and we didn't find anything, but we felt good about getting that at least checked off our list. And now that we've got our website revamped and with an email that people can email us with tips, we've gotten a lot of tips. And so we just collate them and just kind of prioritize them based on, well, the interesting thing is that we have a lot of maps, and I suspect that Dennis Rader probably took a drafting class or is very particular about his lines, and his memory too is really good. He can draw maps just from memory that are so spot on. And we have a lot of those that he's driven or that he's drawn before he was arrested and even after in prison that he sent to his fans. And they come with notes. You know, he'll draw he'll write numbers and everything will be numbered on the map, and then off on another page, literally a description of why that section of the map is important. You know, there's like a train boxcar in an open field, and we know where it's at, and we need to go look at it because he's got it drawn on his map and he's got a circle with a number on it, and he talks about why it's important.
How many locations are out there on your radar right now that you need to visit that you have not visited yet that have been on his maps or that he's talked about or that maybe even the barns we're talking about that existed or did not exist that need to have a good close look at them?
Oh, easily. And I don't handle that part of the investigation,
mm-hmm.
but easily I know of 50 that have crossed my desk and that I've passed on to investigators.
Okay.
You know, but I know there's more than that based on their own investigations and based on them just looking at the maps and his writings at the same time. So, gosh, easily 100 that we have to get ourselves and or task members to look at and check off the list just so that we can feel comfortable about it.
I mean, this seems like a unbelievably intense job involving a lot of people. What kind of resources are you guys using there? And what do you have at your hands to dig into an investigation that has so many tentacles to it?
Resources at hand is, different pieces of software that we can use as far as some of the satellite imagery and of course, you know, we have our law enforcement database searches that we can do based on people and their work histories. There's been some great value in Ancestry.com mm-hmm. and figuring out people's family trees and going back and seeing, you know, even where, you know, Dennis's parents worked or other family members mm-hmm. worked and where he spent time growing up, because those places also are important because the places that are familiar to him are places that he frequented often.
Yeah.
So we've picked those places out in Kansas, and we're looking at those with a real sharp eye. And of course, you know, we've got a great world-class dog handler and investigator that's got archaeological dogs that mm-hmm. They've been on some of the Indian school cases, you know, with the unmarked graves, dating back over 150 years and finding those. So he's got impressive dogs.
Mm-hmm.
He used to work for a professor at a college, and now he's switched over to the law enforcement side of things, and we're not going to let go of him.
Sure. So with that, you have that, this national task force that has been announced. Can you tell me more about that? What exactly is the national task force on this? What is the role? What is the purpose of it? And what is it to do?
Now, with the national task force, it will be headed up by Cheryl Mack McCollum out of Atlanta. And she is basically the task force coordinator, and she brings a lot of CSI experience, and she's been super great at being able to coordinate things. And we're getting ready to have our first literally Zoom meeting tomorrow to start determining our battle plans moving forward and dividing up the workload and starting to make a lot of things happen at once. You know, we've got Kansas Department of Corrections on board with us. Mm-hmm. You know, the United States Attorney's Office out of our state. Mm-hmm. And a lot of good nationally recognized retired investigators that are up there in that arena of you know, the forensics. Yep. and the handwriting experts. You know, we've got a deception expert. Mm-hmm. You know, for interviews.
I noticed there's actually several of my normal guests that are on your list. I'm like,
on the list.
On your list.
I mean, and Nancy Grace said, you know, put her name on there too. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, it's mind-boggling how quickly this list grew. Yeah. And I'm glad for it, because ever since January, this small sheriff's office, we're a very small sheriff's office in the largest county in Oklahoma.
Sure.
You know, we're doing the regular work of the people in addition to this cold case. And so me as undersheriff, I've got undersheriff duties to do, mm-hmm. but I'm still rolling my sleeves up and working on this case. I'm very much looking forward to being able to pass some of this stuff along to these task force members. And being able to gain some inroads and gain some ground into some areas where we've kind of hit some dead ends, mm-hmm. you know, like getting work history from ADT, getting access to Boy Scout records. Dennis Rader worked for the U.S. Census around the time that he was down in the Missouri area with Shauna Beth Garber. And so gaining access to those records and seeing where they take us will yep. just further help us be able to connect the dots.
So despite the DA saying there's nothing we can do right now, we putting it over into the hands of OSBI and you guys, this is not the end by any means of him saying we don't have enough to prosecute. This sounds like very much the beginning of a very large investigation.
To just speak on the DA again,
yeah.
he's not made himself a part of this process. He was invited to our presentation. He showed up late. It was my presentation, my PowerPoint presentation that I gave to 20 different law enforcement officers the first time around, sometime back in April or May. And he showed up late and he left early. And he missed the very last slide where we were asking for everyone's help to include the OSBI. Mm-hmm. Now, no fault of the OSBI. They're busy.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of work on their plate. We're sorry that they couldn't partner with us at the time. Mm-hmm. We'll obviously reach out to them again. We've given them regular case updates. Mm-hmm. But now the DA thinks he's magically going to get them on board with us. We still haven't heard from them since he made that proclamation on TV.
So we'll have to see if those resources, yeah.
You know, we would love all the help we can get. And when the OSBI shows up, we'll create an office for them here, and we can have a full-time agent here with us if they'll provide one, and we'll sure make stuff happen.
Very interesting, a very confusing case, as BTK always has been, as we seem to enter into chapter number 3 of this insanity of Dennis Rader. Thank you so much for your insight today, Gary. I'd love to keep in contact and have you continue to update us on how this continues to develop over the courses of the next many weeks and months.
Yeah, for sure. I've got zero problems with that.
Awesome. Gary Upton, Undersheriff for Osage County, Oklahoma, thank you for your insights and for your update on this continuing investigation. I hope we can continue to have conversations and learn more about this as it continues to develop. I'm still kind of beside myself that we are having conversations about BTK in the present tense right now. But of course, we'll continue to keep you updated right here on the podcast.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.